said, Monday, show controversy, Stephen B. doing the best he can be in the key of E. We're going to have some heavy rap today. Some of the things we're going to talk about is going to blow your mind. We're going to do it real fine. Check us out. We'll be right back. Back to Stephen B and the show Controversy. We're going to talk about a lot of things that they, the most important things we're going to talk about is something that hit me right in the face when I had a conversation with someone, and that's about women in the pulpit. Now, a lot of people aren't comfortable talking about that for a couple of reasons. I think ignorance has a lot to do with it, but more importantly, I think what it has to do with it is how we are raised in this geo-Christian society. So what I did is I decided that I met someone who's a pastor, who's a woman of great faith and remarkably calm, because I've talked to her and seen in different incidents that has really shocked me about her strength. And we'll talk a little bit about where that came from. But rather than get into denominational things and get into things that aren't necessary for us to talk about, we'll refer as Pastor Pat, as we're having this conversation, and welcome to the show. I think we're going to have a great time today.
Oh, it's good to be here.
I
think we're going to have a good time too.
Good. Let me ask you. You know, one of the big things that people talk about is, in some churches, have the belief women shouldn't be preachers. They shouldn't preach from the pulpit. Okay. I mean, does that bother you at all, or do you give it much thought?
No, I don't really give it much thought, because I don't believe that no one should be able to say if a woman should be able to preach in the pulpit or not, because they not validated by men. We're validated by God. So if God says, calls me to be a pastor, then that's my calling. Who are men to say any different?
Wow. That's a interesting answer. With that being said, though, what do you think about what I call the old guard in this whole spiritual journey, whether it be Baptist, Catholic, doesn't make a difference, who still insist that women have a blessing of involvement but they don't have the blessing and the honor of engagement from the standpoint of being leaders of a church. And believe me, there's a whole bunch of them that think that way.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I didn't come up under that. I was very much welcomed into the pulpit where I came up in. And even, you know, I think that has a lot to do with religion and not relationship.
Do you think a lot of politics is involved in this?
Yes, I do.
Do you think we can get away from the politics? Do you think we can get away from the politics of the church?
I think we need to get away from the politics of the church because religion and relationship with God is two different things.
Very true. I mean, the times we've talked, I was always impressed when I would say things to you and this is what I thought, and your response would be, that's God. Mm-hmm. So how did you arrive at this thought process in your life? I mean, I'm sure that if you don't mind me asking, this life experiences that got you here. I mean, can you just touch on it without getting too sensitive? I mean, there's a story here.
Okay, well, growing up, I didn't grow up in quote-unquote religion. I didn't grow up in the church. I came into my relationship with God at home, having an experience with God and having an experience with God and just being at church, you know, going back and forth to church. That's not what I deem as being God.
Now, you were raised in the South? Or?
I was raised in the South of Chicago.
Okay.
And so I don't deem God the same way religion redeemed God. Well, you have to go to the church. And I'm a kingdom teaching pastor. So I teach the way Jesus came into the earth to teach, his way. It was a way that he taught. It was not just from a Bible perspective, from the law of what you do. Religion offers you a bunch of do's and don'ts.
Mm.
You know, but relationship offers you the love of God. Which is the difference. It's a difference there. And I came up in God with the love of God.
How much influence did, and I know some of the background because you obviously talk, but what made you decide that it's time? That's a little girl, my room all the time. But listen, what made you decide? Was there one event that made you said, I can't do this anymore. I gotta go to a higher power. Was there an incident?
Yeah, well, growing up as a child, I actually came into my relationship with God at an early age. There was a bunch of things going on and around me that was pulling me into a place of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that, mm-hmm. Into a place of hatred. And God said, I want to teach you of my love.
Mm-hmm.
And this love that I want to teach you of is the unconditional love. So unconditional love don't have no boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it don't have no do's and don'ts because it's unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the love that Jesus came into the world to show us, an unconditional love, a love that says, I have compassion for you. I have mercy for you. Even though all the things that you do wrong, I still love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that same love that he had for us, he wants us to go and show to other people.
And I believe that. I do believe that. Let's go from there to the original topic here about women in the pulpit. And your answer was just wonderful. I was sitting here mesmerizing and heard this from. But
right.
you're a very knowledgeable woman. No, that's unfair. I'm going to say you're a very knowledgeable pastor that happens to be a woman. Let's say it that way.
Yeah.
So have you ever, in your career as far as pastoring, have you ever been going somewhere they actually want you to do the eulogy or speaking on the pulpit rather than, and I noticed this in a couple of churches, that whether they have the female pastor actually in the pulpit, it's a podium in front of the pulpit. Mm-hmm. But have you experienced that?
No, I can't say I have. I've been at, I've ministered at what we will say growing church. I don't like to say small church and
sure.
big church. I'll say a growing church and mega churches as
mm-hmm.
well. And I have not encountered such.
Have you ever encountered or had the feeling that in some places you've been in the religious community that they, when they find out you're a pastor, especially around those of color,
mm-hmm.
when they find out you're a pastor, it's not a matter of them looking down as
right.
much as it is a matter of them thinking, okay, and your point. You follow me? It's almost
yeah.
like not a disrespect, and I don't think that any sane ministers in that form would do such, but the feeling of the masculinity, the mannish issue.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Well, I can't say that I have gotten it.
You won't say, okay. Gotcha.
I can't say that I have gotten it, but I can say I have seen.
You've been. Is that the political?
I have seen other people experience that. I have heard of other women experience that. Matter of fact, one of my first pastors was a lady, and she come from a Southern Baptist church,
mm-hmm.
and there was controversy there with her. Being a woman pastor, and that was basically like a no-no.
Wow.
And
this is in the South?
Yes, that's in Chicago. And that was in that time like a no-no. And she
pretty
much
had to.
Yes.
I'm kind of surprised. I thought that South Chicago was a little more progressive.
But it was kind of like that she's she come from a Southern Baptist background.
So
they don't condone that. They
don't condone women wearing pants.
Yeah, they condone that you can be an evangelist. You can be in other areas, but you cannot. You're not supposed to be a pastor.
Right.
That's for a man. That's other men. But she stood her ground and she continued, to be who she was. And they did give her her certificate, to be a pastor. But I want to say this. I look at it different because if God called me to be a pastor, I don't need validation from a man.
I hear you. What can you say? That says it all. But with that being understood, let's go to some other parts of this. I mean, I being a pastor myself, have sat in many churches and watched from the pulpit level as well as sitting in the audience. And unfortunately or fortunately, mm-hmm. I've even been in conversations with pastors on the pulpit where it's like, you know, I don't think the women should be in the pulpit, but she's kind of nice looking, you know, especially from the rear. And I'm saying that because I would think you would be aware of that as being in that position.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about? I know what you say about it, but I mean, what do you feel about that, knowing that this is happening?
Okay, so you're saying from I'm on the pulpit, but I'm on the pulpit because of the way I look, basically.
Right. I mean, very well said. Looks great. Fine with me. I'm pretty honest about it.
So yeah. So I don't think that's right. I don't think that should be. I think I should be on the pulpit because I have something just as important to you to deliver, a message just as important to you to deliver to the world, just as you do.
But you're aware.
You being a male and me being a female shouldn't make a difference.
But you are aware that that
but
comes
I
to
am
play.
Aware.
Yeah, because
that
men are men. I mean, and one of the things that I've always said that we try too hard to be something that we weren't created to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we weren't created to be God, so therefore our whole thought process is morality standpoint is completely different. And that's not to say that God is not in what He creates. What it is to say is that we're not God, so therefore we're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And lust is a big mistake. I don't care what anybody says. Every part of our society, I see it. I don't care what it's politics. At funerals, because being a man, you see things. That's chauvinistic, but it's true though. seriously, I don't know.
It's
how,
true though.
I don't know how many women, you know, go to funerals and look at a man's behind and says, "Boy, I would like to." I'm serious, but men.
But men are different.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're men.
Absolutely.
You're trained to see outwardly, we're more trained to see inwardly. The inside out.
But what's your feeling on that? Not only from a woman's standpoint of view, but being a pastor.
From a pastor position, I can say myself, I have never experienced that. Now, what someone else may have experienced is different. But I have known women or women pastors that have experienced. Now, me from a perspective, I always was kind of buddy-buddy with the men in the pulpit.
Mm.
So I had my stance. So we came into more like a friendship. If you get what I'm saying.
So in other words, you're part of the boys club from a moral standpoint of view, sort of like a tomboy.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Well, you can kind of like put it that they know my stance. They know not to even think about me in that way.
Really?
They know from who they know me to be that don't even think about her.
Pastor, let me tell you something though. And I understand what you're saying. But I understand this, human nature is human nature.
Yeah.
I don't mind being up front,
mm-hmm.
and telling you if I was sitting on the pulpit or what's in the pulpit. First of all, you got a magnificent body. That's number one. I'm just being real, okay?
Okay.
Now, and from a man's standpoint of view, which tends to be the problem, period. I mean,
right.
let's face it.
I understand.
But from a man's standpoint of view, if there's anything that's more a compelling sin, it's the sin of lust.
Mm-hmm.
So being a woman pastor and knowing such, I mean, what's your attitude? I mean, it's so human in nature. What's your attitude about that?
I don't think that is, it should be that way. I don't think we should be seeing it any different just because we're female. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I know that we do because we, as women, we're very much shapely, you know. and the men, you know, their eyes, they're trying to see things with their eyes.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And seeing you and talking to you with my eyes, with my heart, is very interesting, because I think that if more, I think the dialogue between those of faith, men and women, that's a dialogue that's long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is that once the church itself as a people decided how the political side of it should be ran, then we ran with that and forgot the spiritual side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that things are changing, but not quite there. We got to take a pause for the calls. We'll be right back with the Pastor Pat, and we'll get into some more serious conversations. I'm not sure how deep she's going to let me get into.
Thank you. there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Is recess, we talked.
Like I said, he wasn't gonna comment first because he had already said that he don't see the. Oh, we back live. We back live.
Oh, I'm back. Thanks for letting me know. Ernestine, come on, man. Take stuff back to controversy. CUB doing the key of B. I'm a little somber because I'm a little tired. Number one, I've been nonstop the last couple of days. I'm gonna turn you on to surprises. Number one. Jazz in the Park is going to happen this year, from the middle of June, I'm sorry, and run until September. I think it's a total of 10 concerts. And it will be in the area, if not necessarily at Walker Park, because one of the things I decided to do is I'm going to do it one last year, is to kind of spread it around. So there's going to be some other locations involved. Post 34, I know, is going to be involved. And I'm thinking Post 64 is going to be involved. So within the next couple of days, you'll hear more about it. But for you that have been really waiting for it, it's coming back just for one more year. And it's going to be brought to you by Yaz is going to be the chief sponsor of the, I should say promoter, but it's going to blow your mind. The other thing is, the art show that I promised, We're going to probably do that sometime in June with Alchemy. So I'm working on several projects. What's really held me back is because a lot of things began to interfere in my life, personal, family things, but and trying to help people out, but that happened. So, my phone went off. I get a $5
fine.
$15 fine. Jesus Christ. I'm glad we don't have FDC. What is it? FDC?
FDC.
Yeah, I'm glad because I'm going to jail. You know, but I'm telling you, guys, check this out. I talked to you about it, but can you believe that I was been...
All right.
Somebody really wants me. Okay, give me a second. Dude, we can do this on TV, I guess. I mean, radio and stuff, you know? You get away with it. Remember, I don't have to deal with the... Oh, now. I'm in the middle of my radio show, so I have to call you back. All right. I'm turning off my phone. I apologize. No, I don't. I like having fun like that. But listen, so Jasmine Park, the art thing is going to happen. There's going to be a couple other projects. I'm working on a project now that is going to involve a pretty renowned journalist that we're going to go and do some walking and talking in the streets. And with our owner's permission, we're going to embark on that very soon. So it's going to be a very, very busy summer, very busy summer. And I'm committed to make this happen. And I need your commitment to our radio station and TV station. It's YazzerTVRadio.com. Give us your support because that's what it's all about, is supporting you as well. So with that being said, back to Pastor Pat. One of the things that has fascinated me about this whole religious aura is this thing about sex. Now, what fascinates me is this whole thing is tied to this thing called marriage.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere that you can show me in the Bible that these marriage vows exist, because that whole issue back in the day of Christ and that was about betrothal, and it had nothing to do with ceremonious stuff. I mean, it was ceremonious to the degree that they modeled off and that kind of stuff, and you know, everybody knows it started from a Jewish religion, but there's nothing in the Bible that says that this is how you get married. What it does say in the Bible is give on to Caesar what is Caesar's and give on to God what is God. And my theory to this is that we created an institution called marriage that's nothing like the institution of marriage as it was meant to be. It was meant to be, and see, one of the things that theologians don't want to talk about is this whole idea about what's a virgin. I don't want to talk about that. Because if you understand the whole culture, what happened at the time, being a virgin didn't necessarily mean you did not have a man before. What happened is when you get a period of being accepted by a man, that you are a virgin from that point on to this man. And it's also historic. So when people say premarital sex, what's premarital sex? I mean, because if a person in their brain thinks enough of a person to give on to themselves, then that in itself should be considered marriage. Not men standing in front of a minister or a judge and saying, you have the permission to have sex with a woman.
I agree.
What?
I do agree to that. I think that we, a lot of things has passed down from tradition of man, man-made traditions. Where does it say that you need to bring in all of that to be married? Marriage in itself, I believe that it is my opinion that when a man sees you and you see the man, then and you want to marry that person, you're already married. What makes you feel that I have to stand before a minister or have a ring or have a piece of paper, and now you can say I'm married.
Birdseed. How does that? Here?
Yeah, turn it up.
Okay, I'm learning.
Now hit that red button.
Here? Here.
Yep, that one.
And then hit the nut next to it. No, no.
No.
The green. Next to it.
There?
No. Oh, yeah. The green.
This one.
Yeah, that one. Okay, you can hear me now.
I'm learning.
Marriage is business. As soon as you go down there and sign that piece of paper, I'll take that back. I think like what you said, Pastor, when the man and the woman, they connect in your marriage and your bond is your marriage, and you don't need that piece of paper. I think when you go get that piece of paper, then it becomes a business. That's what I meant to say, like that.
And you're right. But you know what? Can I ask you a question? How come we only have at least 15 million more people things like she thinks in the ministry?
Want me to tell the truth? Because, you know, I'll go in.
Come
go
on
ahead.
Now. Tell the truth.
Because it's money. It's business. It's like the funeral business.
Exactly.
You make money off people getting married. From the ceremony to the divorce.
Come on,
it's business. It's economic.
I think
that now being legal, you know, you legally married, just giving it from my perspective. You know, I think a lot of people say, you got to be married, especially in the church world.
And you were married for 4 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, especially in the church world, I think so many people, which is really sad, is getting married from the perspective of, I like this man, I want to be with this man, but the church says I can't be with him unless I marry him. Okay, so now they get married, but they legally bound. That's not a marriage.
Correct.
Because now you're actually getting married because this is what the church expects for you, and you really don't know anything about marriage. But you're getting legally bound to somebody for the sex. Because now this gives me a right in the eyes of man to have sex with this man in the church. You know what I'm saying? Because now we're married.
Let me ask you this. Do you think... How to ask this to make sense? Do you think that a child who is born from two people who are not married legally, whatever, do you think that the terminology illegitimate child is a fair terminology? Because all life is legitimate, but that term illegitimate child bothers me. What do you think about that?
Well, I think from a legal perspective, when I go back to thinking about sex before marriage, being married, or premarital sex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, premarital sex, I look at it in a different light. Because premarital sex is like you intend to marry that person. Sex before marriage could be you're just having sex with this person. You're not really intending on marrying them. You're just having sex with them. And so that could be multiple people that you're having sex with. Because you're doing it before you actually get into that place of premarital sex.
I suggest you stop telling the truth.
I can't tell nothing but the truth because, you know, we have been caught up in so much a tradition, man tradition. And it's nobody's fault because it's just been passed down from generation to generation. And so if I'm telling it to you and then you're telling it to the next person, when somebody come into the world and that's all they know.
That's very true. That's very true.
That's all they know.
But I'm going back to the connection between a female pastor and the pulpit. With that being said, just the message that we just talked about, do you think that because of the chauvinistic way that churches are, do you think just whether people agree or not, you've got to be honest.
I have to tell the truth whether they agree or not.
But do you think that that message is stymied by the male chauvinist attitude of the church that such a message doesn't get out?
I think that more people that's beginning to see things in and I truly believe that it's going to be more kingdom pastors raised up, and that's what I see myself as, a kingdom teaching pastor. I'm not one of the traditional religious pastors.
Can I ask a question? Okay, you said the male chauvinistic view on religion and women in the pulpit. Could it be a gay male perspective why it's like that? Could the chauvinistic side of that, could it be coming from a gay man's perspective? Because most men who love women don't like if you ever read some religious text, and I'm talking about from all the different, especially the major big three, it's almost like the woman is so many things in there that almost teach that the woman brings bad. Even from the story of Adam and Eve, to you can't be taught by a woman spiritually. And I really look into the text deep like that. And usually that sounds like somebody who has hatred for women or don't like women. So I'm just asking the question.
Let me answer my part of the question.
Okay.
I think that what you're saying is 100% true. I mean, because the chauvinistic aspect of the Bible, why it was written and how it was written, see, people don't realize that technically that the Bible itself was written by a very nomadic people, okay, who did not have at that time a belief system on a God. They didn't. Basically, the Bible, whether you believe it or not, was written by men who said they were inspired by God to write these books, just like the Quran or anything else. We don't know. We can only believe, and the only belief system we have is faith. With that being said, I think that from the beginning of time, that women have gotten the bad rap through the Bible from the beginning, from Eve all the way down to today. I mean, what haven't they been blamed for, number one? But when it comes to giving them their props and what they have done and created, that we kind of fall short on that. So that's my answer to my part of the question. Now, your answer is?
I see that as somewhat true. I think that woman has gotten a bad rap from Eve. But really, Eve didn't do anything.
Amen.
It really goes back on man.
You know, unfortunately, and I got to admit that what you're saying is so true, because if we are to follow and believe in the books, man was put here as a, for lack of better words, God basically said, I'm making all this.
Mm-hmm.
This is for you guys, rock and roll, and you in charge. You name everything.
Right.
You put things in perspective. Just don't do certain things.
Right.
He's pretty specific. I mean, yeah, God's like that. Then the other thing that really happened is he said, you know what? This guy is lonely. I did all this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get rid of a part of this person and make him a mate. And
right.
her job, because he even gave Adam, if you believe the story, the right to even name you woman.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That's all it is.
Right.
All right, now, y'all can be showing this take
another
all
$15.
Another $15.
Oh,
you're about
to be
broke. Yes, Commander. No, I'm on the radio station doing my show. Yeah, just give me an hour and I'll call you back and give me all the details. It's fine.
All time.
All right. Well, that was Commander John Thomas of the American Legion. You know, I get a chance to interrupt my show and ask questions and have fun. But do you think that people truly understand that? Because the implications are major. Because right now you have a culture of women who says, well, he ain't going to tell me what to do. He can't control me. I'm in the business. First of all, if you going back to what the word says, that kind of talk is detrimental to our society, period. I think that, but at the same time, I also think not recognizing the value of the strongest pastor who was a female in the history of the world, and that was Mary, Jesus' mother. So you can't neglect that fact because, you know, when the boys, the gang of 12 got scared because her son was killed, they all ran and hid like little cowards. That's what they did. And Mary basically said, y'all need to get y'all butt up. My son, the Messiah, was just crucified and y'all sitting here hiding. You know, we're not Roman like that. That's what Mary basically said.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is that you've always been in the pulpit. I think that, once again, as we spoke earlier about tradition,
mm-hmm.
has spoiled a lot of the significance of that, like it has done in most religious activities. And you know, and in retrospect, with all your journey that you've been through, and you're still willing to fight on and speak the truth and live the word, how long? That's always the magic question. How long is it going to take, especially Americans, to realize the value of the woman who's always been in the pulpit?
I think that it's going to take for people to open their eyes and see truth. Exactly. It has not changed. But I think that man has lost their position as knowing the truth, and women has lost their position in knowing their position and who they are as a woman.
Woo! Did you hear that person say? Wow. Continue, I'm sorry.
So they don't know their position. And man has allowed women, I was saying this about the other day, don't take your pants off and give them to a woman.
Wow.
Keep your pants on and stay in your position, and she will be able to stay in her position.
It's really taking words out of my mouth, and usually I'm not like this. I think that what you say is not only profound, but how do you get this from other women of color to understand this?
I believe that it has to be taught. It has to be understood. And it has to be walked out. modeled, I believe that it has to be ministers in the pulpit or pastor women, pastors in the pulpit, which model, you know, amongst other women to let them see. My life has been more of a lifestyle. I am who I am. I am who God created me to be. And I don't want to wear no man's head.
I ain't mad at you. I don't want to wear me. I'll be honest with you.
And I think the sooner that we understand opposition is God, is man, and is woman. And that does not make us any less than man, you know, or make them rule over us as we were taught, you know, about the submissive area, that you submit to this man and then he treats you any type of way, but you submit to him, you know. I think that more women like myself needs to know the truth.
The only thing I can say today, Bernstein, is about what I've heard. There needs to be 15 million more. Am I wrong?
It needs to be 15 million more open-minded believers.
Yes.
That's what we need.
That's what I said. And coming from the areas of, I won't say doctrine, truth. You know, I have been fortunate to sit up under many men and women of God, like as myself, that wants to know, live, and teach truth.
You know, the interesting thing about what you're saying is that it's not revolutionary. I mean, because, and the reason why I say that is because that's the way it was set up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say it's revolutionary. Mm-hmm. I think that as we go through this journey of life, sister, now, I think that we have a lot of women who are emerging with super intelligence without a shadow of a doubt. And it's not like they didn't always have it. It's just it was not always recognized. Let me give you a couple of women, and I want to hear your thoughts briefly about them. Let's start with Mother Teresa. What did you think about Mother Teresa?
Mother Teresa, I believe that she presented herself as a woman of truth. You know, she owned her own truth, and she stood in what she believed, and she, you know, presented it to the world. Rather we saw her as who she was, I think a lot of people saw her from a religious perspective.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I understand about, that I've come to understand about people that walk in truth, it is controversial because it's so different from the way the norm is. So you have to, it's no different than when Jesus and the disciples was on the earth. They had to walk in the truth that the world wasn't ready to receive because the tradition taught something totally different. When we come into this world and we are taught this and that, it's almost like you got to unlearn, got to be renewed in your mind as to of what the truth is. And it's contrary to what popular demand.
I see a new TV show.
We need it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. What do you think about Michelle Obama?
Michelle Obama, I really admire her strength. I admire her strength, but yet I admire the woman that she was or that she is, because she was able to own her own truth even in the midst of a strong man. And that, like they say, behind every great man is a great woman. And I believe that not only was she a great woman, but she was a great woman in herself, where she could stand as her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though he was standing in his position, she was standing in her position as a woman.
Let me ask you a question.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
For starters, are we allowed to, I ain't going to say criticize Michelle Obama, but are we allowed to not necessarily because I have this question, and then since you know a woman and you're a pastor, I saw last year Michelle Obama doing, I think it was Women's Appreciation Month or something like that, and she gave the honorable award to Woman of the Year to Dwayne Wade's son, and it bothered me and it disturbed me to the point, because one, his son is a child. He's 11 or 12 years old, so he's not a woman. He's a boy. Regarding and try to get into all that thing, but she gave that little boy, for one, they sexualizing a child, to me personally. I could be wrong, because he's 11 years old at the time. And she gave him like a Woman of the Year award.
Wait a minute.
And I was like, it threw me for a loop. I was so confused.
Wait a minute.
I can pull up the article.
No.
That threw me for a loop.
You know what?
Because I didn't know about that.
No.
So you're throwing me for a loop right now.
Wait a minute.
How do you?
Please wait. Just write this to me like it was this show. Dwayne Wade.
Son.
Married to
Gabrielle Union.
Right. Their son.
It's not. It's. Yes. They don't have kids together. Yes, his son
now,
from his first wife.
Okay.
That's another $15, boy. You're going to be broke.
That's $45,
man, because I'm on the air right now. I'm going right back to you. I want to take a break. Okay. It's my brother. God.
So is Dwayne Wade's son from his first wife?
Who's gay?
No, that he's transgender. See, you can't be transgender gay.
Okay.
He wants to be a girl.
Okay. He's transgender now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's still a child. He's only 13 or 14.
Okay. So now what you're telling me is Dwayne Wade, basketball hero, gets loving himself, has a gay son. No,
he's not gay.
A transgender son.
Yes.
That everybody's celebrating. That's what you're telling
Correct.
Me? Correct. Get out of here. Are you serious?
Yes. I can pull up the article if you want to.
Okay.
So my thing is, you as a, well, Michelle Obama thing, not to change your belief of her, but that's my problem with Michelle Obama, because she did that.
Okay.
But my other question is, as a woman and as a pastor, mm-hmm. how do y'all handle the situation where you're sitting there talking to somebody and they're forcing you to call them a pronoun when they're actually a man, mm-hmm. but they force you to say, no, I'm a girl, I'm a woman, I identify as a woman. How does that?
Well, in myself, I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I stand in my truth. No matter, I'm going to always walk in love towards people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a controversy in that, because for one, that is a male, and I don't care how many operations they have.
Mm-hmm.
It does not make them be a woman.
Well, you know,
because they were not born woman.
Once again, the truth is
they were not born female.
The truth is this, it's simple. As they said, Lord didn't make Adam and Steve, he made Adam and Eve.
They are not the fetus. To be a woman is to be the fetus of a male.
Mm.
That's why we're female. So they cannot be a woman.
Right.
Because they're not a female. Only a female can be a woman. And the woman is the fetus.
Right.
The fetus. We're the fetus. We, me. A woman is the fetus of a male. A male cannot be the fetus of a male.
That makes sense. I mean, all them out there who's trying to play God, I don't care what kind of surgery you have, medication. A man is a man, a male is a male, and a female is a female.
And in God's eyes, that's a male.
But that, and I'm torn.
No matter how much hair I get put on my hair, if I take everything out, I still was born a female.
But and I'm torn by that. Because we've had conversations on how I feel about it. But here's my question. As people of the faith and people of God, how do you translate that understanding to the sector of love? I mean, I cannot to this day find myself, you know, with the biggest responsibility that pastors have is marry people and marry them. That's what you get a license to do. Unfortunately, it's a license. But I just cannot, I see myself marrying a gay couple.
You can or can't see yourself?
Can't see myself. I can't. I mean, you know, those of us who know me know my daughter is gay. And she's married. And the love doesn't stop your child. But as a pastor, how can we justify marrying people or joining them or blessing them from the standpoint of marriage when they're of the same sex?
I can answer that. Okay. The one and only unlicensed person of the clause here slash Jew slash Muslim. It goes back to Pastor Phil, when we first started the show off, the marriage part is the connection of the two people. When you get to the point where you're doing a civil, but when you're doing a legal balance of that's where I think we get to the stage of where you have to get the marriage license and going downtown. I think at that point where it steps out of the spiritual realm, that becomes a tangible business. So in other words, that's their way of making marriage tangible, because it's the same thing. Once you go get that piece of paper, you're still bind it legally. That's outside of spirituality. So I mean, my whole thing is I don't see how it equates with the spiritual side as a pastor marrying a gay couple.
Right.
It doesn't.
I agree. But since we are taught, or supposed to be taught, to not judge unless you be judged. Then, once again, that it causes the controversy in my thinking, because I'm sitting here knowing that such is bad and wanting very much to speak out about it from a religious context. As far as we're doing on a secular context, I tell them straight out as well.
I get what you're saying. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. I had a conversation with my daughter last week. She's 11 years old. They teaching this stuff in school now, believe it or not. And she kept on saying the same words you just said, bad, 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 bad. And I kept on correcting Brooklyn to tell her, it's not necessarily bad. It's not natural. It's not natural for a man and man to be together. It's not natural for a woman and a woman to be together. It's not natural. The good and bad thing, that's up to of anybody's, I guess, perception. But at the end of the day, you cannot debate the fact of it being natural.
Right. It's bad.
Not only is it not natural, but it's not godly.
is not godly, right? God didn't create
God
them.
Did not create male and male to be together. Mm-hmm. He did not create female and female to be together.
Because mm-hmm.
There's no union there.
No. And you know now what they're trying to do now, they're actually inserting ovaries into men now so men can have babies and deliver babies now. So they really trying to play God.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Say this again now.
They have a surgical.
Let me wrap this around my neuroscientist type.
So all you ladies out there who are organ donors, don't be an organ donor.
Yeah, because that's what they do.
They're taking out the ovaries from women who's dying and putting them into men.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to work.
Well, you know, the Bible
is not going
that the men will become lovers of themselves. You know, that's just part of the end time, you know, that women will be in love with women and men will be in love with men. And, I look at it as Sodom and Gomorrah. You know how it was destroyed. You know, Sodom was, you know, with the males, with males.
But let me address what he just said. I'm going to tell you why I say it won't work. Cloning worked for two reasons. Number one, it was a smart dream with a negative outcome as far as I'm concerned. And taking DNA and, you know, reproducing it in petri dish, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Okay. Now, here's the issue. The issue of taking ovaries from a female and putting it inside of a male won't work for two reasons. There's one thing about the body, from a chemical standpoint of view, is that in that science, you have to be exact. Everything has to be exact because the bodies are differently built and the DNA is different. But here's what's more important. Even God has his limits.
Mm-hmm.
He does. And see, I'm going to say this. It's probably going to piss a lot of people off, but I'm going to be real about this. I think that even in the Challenger incident, which was a tragedy that the astronauts lost their lives, here's what I truly think also, is that God for so long has been telling us that you're destroying the environment, cluttering up the stars, and the problem is that's going to eventually come to our disaster. And if you don't think that shooting rockets constantly through the stratosphere and atmosphere wasn't tearing the lining, which allowed global warming to happen, then you're crazy.
Right.
Okay. So, in saying that, as tragic as the Challenger accident was, I say all the time, God's trying to tell us something.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they live?
That's true.
Okay. Whether you Islamic, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a moron, and we got a bunch of those. The truth of the matter is God is trying to tell us something. We ain't listening. And what's even cluttering up all this thing is what started this conversation in the first place, women in the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
Okay? We are concerned about a woman, which if you think about it, that creature that can give life, if anybody should be listening to a degree, a woman should be. It's not about breaking the glass ceiling or it's not about being pushed up. It's about being put up because that's the way it is. I think that listening to women such as yourself today is not only inspiring, I think that there gives us some hope. I think that a lot of things I just said is bullshit because the truth of the matter is people aren't listening.
Yeah.
You know, they're not listening. So that's why it is so important that you tune into Yasser TV and radio because you're going to get the truth. You might not like it. It's going to be raw. But it's going to be the truth. And controversy is here to at least speak that truth. And I've had some very interesting people on this show. And they're right, Bernstein.
Yes.
We haven't talked to the zebra yet. So. No. But no.
Who's the zebra? Or a zebra?
Okay.
Oh, well, I mean, we can get a zebra. We can get it to talk. Make ratings go up.
I can lose sanity. But no. You know, George Middleton, alchemy, And I'm serious when I said this. Sitting there thinking, Bernstein is being very silent today. And I keep thinking, boy, I see your show. I do. I mean, what you're saying needs to be set out. It needs to be put out. And people can learn from it. Hopefully, it will inspire some women to think about the right thing.
I see a movement of women called Dunamis. And we're probably about 40,000 strong. And I know that many women is getting ready to know the truth.
Wait, explain this to me. This is a movement?
Yes.
And it's called a movement
of women. And it's called Dunamis. Uh-huh. Dunamis means the power of God within.
They've been listening to me?
I guess they have.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're up to 40,000 now. This is throughout the United States? Or?
Yes.
Really?
Throughout global.
Yeah. Which I do, like, do y'all...
They attack me?
No.
Man, haters club.
We're actually providing women of faith to know who they are and to stand in who God created them to be.
And your belief is that God created women to be what?
We know that God created us to be great. You know, there's a greatness on the inside of us that needs to come out. And we know that God created us to walk alongside with man. You know, he created us to be wife, to be mother. So we women just have to know who they are.
Do you believe that in that scenario, when you mentioned the word walking beside, so in other words, you believe that the male is not just dominant. I don't use the word dominant. Over his society, that he is functioning in the scenario is equal, or the woman is equal to his. I mean, in other words, they are co-rulers versus there is a ruler and a destiny involved in such relationships.
So we believe that God created man.
Mm-hmm.
In his image.
Mm-hmm.
And he created woman as the helpmeet to man. Okay?
You got some friends?
Yes.
Hey, man, we gotta get a 1-800 call the show so these brothers can get some real
get some knowledge. Right.
And, but we have also real awesome men that know who they are.
Hello.
Men that's raising up to teach men their position in the earth under God.
Now, they're a part of this organization?
Yes.
Get out of here.
Real awesome men.
First thing, we got to do some research.
Dunamis woman.
We need to do some research and possibly they need to have a show on the One God channel.
Because
we need to get the word out.
Now
we need to get the teaching out.
This is not a quasar secret society.
Right, you got to ask that question.
Yeah.
You're right.
You said who? What?
A quasi secret society.
Sorority. We have a university.
Huh? Whoa, back up. Y'all have a university?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I didn't hear nothing.
I know you didn't. But this is who we are.
Wow. How did you become familiar with this organization?
Oh, well, am I still online?
Yeah.
On air. Well, I...
What was his name?
Hello. it's not a his. Oh. It's a her. I became familiar with this woman of God, awesome, powerful woman of God, through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And but I first became knowledge of her because her daughter was my granddaughter's mentor.
Okay.
And I found out about the Dunamis woman.
She's from here?
She's in Atlanta now.
Is her name Marlene?
No.
That's not Marlene?
Her name is Dee. Devetta. Dee Collins.
Okay. So, go ahead.
And so I became a member of the society in 2018, yeah. And I think it was maybe like 24 of us when we first started out. And now we're about 40,000.
Wow, that's a lot of growth.
Yes.
Yeah, very rapid time. So now, where are you? Where's the organization home base at?
Out of Atlanta.
Chocolate City.
DC is Chocolate City.
No, Atlanta.
Atlanta, home of the freak me.
Dude.
Yeah.
I've been living there since 96. So,
don't you have any moral caliber about yourself with a pastor sitting here?
Yeah. Sorry, Pastor. I have sinned.
Who don't?
I know how to ask for forgiveness.
Cast first stone. You don't have sin.
I tell you. And that's the interesting part of this conversation and kind of wrapping up, because I got to get some news and spend some money and all that kind of stuff. Do you see women in the ministry becoming stronger, more exposed? And do you think that those who do that are going to be the people bringing the rawness of the conversation we had today? I mean, it's just like, don't get me wrong. What's her name, Tamara Mann? Is that her name?
Yes.
I love her to death. Don't get me wrong. But when I think about, who's the pastor as well, and Pastor Angelique, when I think about some of these brilliant women mm-hmm. who have gotten to the level of being able to speak the word, their word, how you want to put it.
Yeah. No, I got a question when you're done.
But still, they don't have the insight.
They have the platform, but not the insight.
There you go, that you have. So do you see more of your type of pastor versus the other type of pastoring or ministry, I should say? Which do you see emerging as we go forward?
I do see... the kingdom, because it's from a kingdom perspective. It's not from a religious or a tradition perspective. So I do see the kingdom evolving in our near future. Rather, we will have a lot of controversy from the religious platform, because they are on a platform, you know.
I want to thank you, Pastor, for a very interesting, I should say. It's those who know me, especially my psychical reversing, is probably as astound as my behavior today as I am. Because I'm sitting here thinking, where in the heck did this person come from? Because your perspective is so real and it's very raw. I appreciate the conversation. And you know what? I would like, if I could, to bring you back Wednesday so we can finish this dialogue, this conversation, because I got a lot more questions to ask.
Yes. I'll be available.
I'm winning. We're going to take a pause and call, and we'll get back and handle the rest of our business. Close out the show. Sell some... we're going to sell... Well, sort of. We're going to give some things, tell some things, talk about some other things. And also, remember, we got to get to our sports section. I mean, Bernstein should have a lot to talk about.
Yes, they hit a slave trade this past weekend.
I know it's going to be a new one talking. Be right back. Welcome to Controversy and Stephen B. doing the Key of B. We'll be right back. got to get to our favorite session. And also, I want to say that listen again on Wednesday from 10 to 12. Pastor Pat's going to be back with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about critical thinking. Thank her for coming. It's been a blast. It's been real, as a matter of fact. And trust me, the girl looks as good as she talks. Downright fine. Built a little cute. Hey.
You just had to do that, didn't you?
Help yourself. If you're scared, say you're scared. I ain't scared, okay? But thank you for today, and we're looking forward to you coming back Wednesday. Now, time for sports. Bernstein, give us your update on the slave trade.
Well, as you know, this past weekend was the NFL draft, aka the slave trade. They had some good bucks out there that, you know, that, you know, traded like, you know, like baseball cards.
Why
for
are
lack
you
of
so
word.
Insulting about this? I mean, really, it's downright insulting that you say it's a slave trade and the white owners are doing what they do. This is America. How dare you?
See, I didn't even say white. You said the word owners, so there you go. What the owners do, they own slaves.
Basketball. No, we just did football.
Yeah, we just did football.
Now, let me ask you
this
question.
Past weekend.
What quarterback went first?
No, this is the first, I think the first year since, I want to say, 2007, that no quarterback went first.
Get out of here.
It was all defensive players
in
this year.
In the first round?
Yes. I think one quarterback in the first round this year. Everybody was defensive and offensive players this year.
Wow.
Most of them, the top number one pick, I think it was a defensive tackle or something like that. Defense.
Wow. That's
different.
Yeah. What about receivers?
They were like the second most pick. There was very few quarterbacks picked.
What about running backs?
No running backs that I know. Put like this, no running backs that was, you know, main broadcaster. The game is changing.
Really?
Yeah, because they got to build these defenses to stop these running quarterbacks.
This is like boxing, man. The game is changing. We used to talk about Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. Now we're talking about Christy Adams.
Who's that?
Hell, I don't know. But the big thing in Las Vegas this weekend was the girls' heavyweight boxing championship.
They got that?
Yeah, it was, man, I'm telling you. And it was packed. It was packed. They had an up. No, you're.
Now it's like a male chauvinist. They take that serious?
But it gets worse. See, the women fight 10 two-minute rounds, right?
Okay.
They were the headliners.
Yeah.
And they had some dudes as, you know,
see?
The warm-up bout.
See what I'm saying? We just talked about that. See what I'm saying? And Pastor, women should be outraged that these men are taking your position.
I am.
Oh, good. Oh. So now since we're in sports, y'all gonna dog the transgender who wants to swim in the women's competition because they say it's not fair.
Sure, right.
And then especially if they got on boxing now too, so it's a dude boxing.
No, the boxing thing's been for a while.
I mean, I'm talking about the transgender boxers.
No, not all of it. But do you know who was the most famous heavyweight female boxer?
Everybody knows that.
Who's that?
Layla Ali.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali's daughter. Yeah. Don't tell me. But
that shit's still wrestling. She probably can kick my ass.
Yeah.
She can punch me anytime she wants.
But you know what's bad about that? Her marriage was her husband.
What?
Yeah.
So he's like Ike Turner, huh?
They got paid.
Eat the cake.
I'm sorry. No, you're not.
Sports just does this to me.
No, you're not. Okay. So now, this is going on. Listen.
Okay. Well, what about you hear about Dwayne Haskins' funeral? You know, the football player that got killed a couple weeks ago. The young boy, young man. His parents didn't come to the funeral because they said they never met his wife.
Are you serious? You know who he's talking about, Pastor Pat? This football player, young promising star football player who was in Miami working out, and him and some of his colleagues, Juan Carlos, was killed.
Yeah.
But he just told me that the parents didn't come to the funeral. Well,
that's sad.
Because they hadn't met the wife?
That's sad. How?
I got to check that.
How dare you?
I can check that one out. I got to check that one
that's
out.
That's sad.
And then,
why wouldn't I not come to my child's room? Because I haven't met the wife.
It's pretty bad. We're waiting for Bernstein to come back. But back to sports. You know what, today, Pastor, I never knew that we had a black F1 race car driver. You know what F1 is, right? It's European race car stuff. It's like the 24-hour Le Mans. I mean, these guys make $6 million more than Indy drivers. Oh, it's big money. In fact, we're going to have a Grand Prix here. They call them Grand Prix. They're going to have one back here again at Indy, and they've redesigned the track to do Grand Prix. That's Formula One cars. And it's very European. But let me check with you. Do you know why it didn't catch on here? Now Bernstein's back.
Why?
And we're in sports.
Why?
But why it didn't catch on is because Europeans don't tip. No.
No? Really?
No.
They don't tip?
No. Let me share this with you. We're talking about Grand Prix. And the fact that we got to drive the Grand Prix. One of the biggest complaints that they had in the hotel and motel stuff downtown was they don't tip. Everybody knows the wages and bartenders and how to make their money, but they do not tip.
Wow.
No. It's
against their what? I can't say religion. It's against what?
Well, see, when all those people come in, you know, and we're talking about multimillionaires.
Yes.
And they don't tip me. I would have to do a Will Smith on their ass. I'm sorry. I'm being really mad. That shows that there's comedy in Christianity as well. That's very true. Now, the other thing that I'm going back because of this whole sports issue is, you know, we joke about his terminology as being the slave trade. Do you, as a woman, I mean, do you see that, or do you understand why they're saying that? Because that's what I explained to you. The concept. You explain to you?
Yes. Okay.
The reason why they're feeling that way is because they see that, you know, in sports, whites own really everything in sports.
Yes.
You know, and they see that these athletes that are coming out of college,
mm-hmm.
Going to professional sports, are viewed like slaves. I mean, they check their teeth, they check their weight, how fast they run. Oh, they do. They do, just like slaves.
They do slay.
And then because of the way the contracts are written, they basically at the wheels of their owner, who already explained to her why would you say it's a slave trade. And I didn't think that most women knew that they said, but okay. So now that you understand it, I mean, how do you see that in sports by the explanation?
Yeah, I guess. I guess now that you explained it to me, I see that.
I wouldn't think women would, a lot of women would see it as we see it.
But they do the same, they do the woman the same way, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Look at their teeth. Everybody
right.
Put them on an auction block. Everything.
Right.
And
if you qualify now.
Right. And check this out. The only person who stood up and got away with it and nobody stopped her was Flo Jo. She said, you're not treating me.
So they killed her.
I mean, we're going to go there.
Here we go.
We are going there.
Going
dun,
there.
Dun, dun, dun.
In the world turn.
So that's what happens to people that be controversial.
Well, but you know, though, you can't deny that truth, unfortunately. I mean, and by no means I don't want people to understand this because it's so elitist. The Martin Luther King thing. I mean, my attitude to Martin Luther King is that he's a great man, he's a great speaker. Didn't make him perfect. I mean, he did his thing, and I get that. But ultimately, he failed.
Oh, he did. He did. But he admitted that he failed.
And remember that? Yeah, and Brother Malcolm, the same way.
He failed also.
He failed as well. And the biggest failure did not hear him. It's the biggest failure. It's not like Maya Angelou, who did it with grace and died a graceful death. But it's not the same. And I don't think people realize that. We should start looking in context of that. But back to the conversation of sports.
Sports.
Slave trade.
What are they going to do about Jackson? I mean, I'm just really confused about that.
Jackson from Baltimore?
Yeah. I mean, they don't know if they love him or not.
Yeah, they don't. You know how it goes, man. You cannot go from being two games away from the Super Bowl to not make it to the playoffs. It's not going to work. That's just how the game is played. It's just like Prescott in Dallas.
What are they going to do with Prescott?
I think this is his last chance. Then he's gone. Season coming up. If Prescott don't deliver, he's out of there. He's out of Dallas.
I think he's going to be out of Dallas before the season ends.
What? Really?
Yep. And I tell you why. Because, see, Dak is just not – that's not Dallas' only problem.
No, it's not, now, but it always falls on the quarterback's shoulder.
Well, think about this. I would think that Jerry Jones has probably realized can't do this anymore. He can get more players for that than the law allows. That's a fact. Now, they allow them to strip up his defense, and Dallas doesn't need a great quarterback, just like most NFL teams don't need a great quarterback.
You need a great line.
Exactly.
Emmitt Smith wasn't the best. The reason why Emmitt Smith was so good because Dallas had that line. And that's why Emmitt was able to get all those yards. You just think of it, just like
Wait a minute.
Go ahead, here we go.
So
Emmitt.
There's a little known player who happens to be from a small town called Indianapolis, and boy, a little moving short ass nigga. His name is Taylor. Now see, this season, that little boy run his butt all over the football field and broke every damn record in the history of football for a rookie.
Who?
Without a line.
Without
a line.
You talking about the, no, man.
He did not have a line. Did not have an offensive line, and that boy still broke the record. Period.
Coach got a line, man.
Emmitt Smith had a line.
Emmitt Smith had a line.
The Colts don't have a line like that.
I said Emmitt Smith. I didn't say all of them because Barry Sanders didn't have a line. Barry Sanders was good. Talking about Dallas. We're talking about Dallas.
See, now I can take a Negro.
We're talking about Dallas.
He's from Russia because he's talking that Yang shit. You know what
you're
talking about, Russia?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Russia.
Hey, come on.
We're
going from sports to Ukraine.
What do you say when your president passed gas?
Okay. What?
President Putin.
They get sicker. But yeah, man. I don't think Dak's gonna be there next year. I think that, I'm really confused about what they're gonna do with San Francisco's quarterback. So what's his name? Dopico? I don't know.
Oh, hey, Falapagos.
What's his name?
Pretty boy. I can't think of his name. I know you're talking about, though. Wow, what's wrong with him?
What? I mean, they want to dump him, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, don't know why I want him. I'm kind of surprised, man.
Well, send him to the Colts. Colts is always taking somebody's broke-down-ass quarterback. Send him to the Colts. Yeah, I'm talking about your Colts.
Now you want to insult me, man.
The Colts is up for everything. Somebody.
I think that they got a great quarterback.
Right, Matt Ryan is trash.
Called Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan was on.
He called Super Bowl.
I do believe that the
he called Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan was the quarterback.
About the 4,000 passer.
Yeah, we talking about the Super Bowl that ends up 28-0 and lost that Super Bowl.
That one. He still threw for 4,000 yards every season of his career.
That's better than the one we had.
Like Peyton Manning
said.
It's
better than the one we had.
Oh, well, definitely, y'all. It was better than
that. I got better.
You want me? This is what the coach
did.
The quote, the Colts get quarterbacks like buying used tires from used tire places. Why don't they recruit a quarterback? Why do they keep buying, getting all these old, broke down quarterbacks? They only recruited one quarterback since Peyton, and that was Matt. What's his name that retired?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
We have a building for this that will work shit.
I mean, you joking?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Wait. We were in a good position after Peyton left. Bad call. Of course, that was the same bad call. The new guy we got is the GM now. But the bottom line is this: in the NFL today, you don't need great quarterbacks. In the NFL today, is you need somebody to put the ball in there and somebody hand off officially to a running back. And every now and then, come up with a fake here and there. What you need is an offensive line, period.
Yeah, you need a line.
This story that needs to say, well, offense, no defense.
Wins the game.
No, offense wins games, defense wins Super Bowls.
That's true.
A bunch of crack. No, not anymore. You got to have an offensive line. You got to perform.
Who won Super Bowl? Who won Super Bowl for the Rams this past season? They defense.
Defense won Super Bowl.
Are you kidding me? The Bears 85 defense.
That's no longer the case anymore. The
Baltimore Ravens defense.
The game has changed.
Tony Dungy, the coach, defense. You cannot say that Peyton Manning won Super Bowl for the coach.
We're talking about the last 10 years. The last 10 years, the game has changed, man.
It has.
It's faster.
It is.
Scoring more points on the board was an indication to me that if you're going to win a Super Bowl, you got to put points in the sand. We ain't talking about no 24. We're talking about now in the 50s. The game has changed, man.
It has changed. It's much faster.
So you got to have a good offensive line to continue this speed.
So the Colts going to the playoffs.
I'm doing something.
Laugh if you want to. Oh, my laugh. The laugh track.
There's no reason for the Colts not
Oh,
there's no reason.
I said playoffs. You said Super Bowl.
I will repeat my statement.
You are a man of faith. He does believe in the utmost.
It's the name of my game, man. I'm telling you.
I think coast is
I think they have the talent to go to the Super Bowl. With that being said, now let's move on to
Yes, because you got 11 minutes.
Have you played any baseball?
Baseball?
Yeah.
Yes. As long as my Braves are winning, I don't care what they do. That's all I care about.
Listen, I know we forgot to do it today. Don't forget, for the last half an hour, generally of our show, you call in and give a shout-out, 30-second shout-out about your business. And that phone number is, and that's every
Monday through Thursday.
It's
soon to be Monday through Friday as soon as we get a morning show on Fridays. We don't have, right? Matter of fact, not to cut you off, we have an opening. If somebody wants their own radio show, we need another morning show from 10 to 12 on Fridays. Because all the other days that we could fill. So we got an opening on Friday and Sunday. But during the week, we needed somebody on Friday.
Make sure you know it's on Friday.
Well, you going to need it because your phone went off four times. Four times 15 carried a one. Yeah.
Oh, well, now we're doing math. Okay. But, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So, you thinking about anybody yet? Is that a new...
It's a lot.
What's the singer's name? Her?
Her. I have a lot of people in mind. It's just the fact that they dedicated to their self. You know, people say they want to do something, and then when they realize it's work involved, they don't, you know, they're not like you. You show up. You're dependable. You love what you do. There's some people, they look at this like, oh, that's easy to do a radio show. I want to do a radio show. And then when the lights turn on and that mic is turned up, and they freeze up.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
But no. I enjoy being a part of building a fantastic network. I mean, it's not every day that black males
especially because generally, you know, women will put up a beauty shop in a heartbeat.
And the quickness.
Yeah, they know it'll make it work.
Make it work.
But man, we haven't been very good at that. And that's why it's such a great opportunity. And you should really tune into the network. That's Yazzer TV, YazzerRadio.com. Tune in because some of the things you're going to learn is going to be a little different, very special, very, very, very unique. And we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. We even got cartoons, don't we?
Yes, we have a cartoon channel called Saturtoons.
When I saw that, I said, really, damn, it's cartoon channel.
Yeah, we have cartoons. We launched our new station this weekend called 14 Live Stages. It's a channel for live concerts. So all you musicians out there and you want to...
But for your cartoon show, concert, man, your cartoon show, you got to go back to the old school, like Harlem Hickory.
Who is that?
Mr.
Green, we don't watch no plantation cartoons.
No, no.
Yeah, who are these people?
See, what you do is you get a black guy up there. He's like Uncle whoever you want to be. And he's like kind of the host for black cartoons. You know, just like back in the day. You
like Bill Cosby did on the Fat Albert
show? No. Listen, I'm serious.
What are you a host?
I'm going to tell you. Go back to the archive. I don't know how you do it. You're genius. And look up Harlow Hickory. And I'm serious.
Harlow.
Yes. They also have a black woman here who is a clown, as a matter of fact. Rosie, whatever her name is. I can find her. Very pretty. But anyway, she's a comedic host for kids' cartoon shows, okay? It's almost like Spin-Gooly for cartoons, if it's lack of better words. But seriously, but look at Harlow Hickory. He's a genius. I was even on
He was a real person? Harlow.
Yeah. Now they call him Uncle Harlow.
And he was kind of like Dr. Snut. What was the dude?
No.
Captain, not Captain Kangaroo. Yeah, Captain Kangaroo.
He had a straw hat right here. And he always wore one of these host clown jackets, you know, with stripes on it and stuff and bow tie.
He from Indianapolis?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
You remember Cowboy Bob back in the day?
I remember Cowboy Bob and Janie.
Like
and Janie was my music teacher when I was in school. She was strapped. That was a strapped white woman.
I
learned
a newspaper, but the same concept. You follow me?
Yeah, I follow.
Only geared to our black children.
Our people of culture. We're a culture, not a color.
That's right. Now we got that straight, ladies and gentlemen. But no,
yes.
Seriously, I mean, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, we have to look into that, man. That's what's up.
I think you'd be a clown.
What? You said you're a clown.
Is.
You a clown?
Man, you remember Homie?
I'm afraid of clowns.
You remember Homie the Clown? I was Homer the Clown.
Homer the Clown? I'm afraid of clowns. I don't like clowns.
Hey, man.
They spooky.
I'm serious. I can put on the makeup. Don't be
an extra brother. Hey, I don't care what you do when you are at home. Put on makeup and dress.
Oh, you scared of clowns?
If you play dress up, that's on you. You're the one that said you put on makeup.
Okay, let's get to the show. Every day. Monday, Thursday, and Friday. You can call in for 30 seconds to talk about your show. That's what we want you to do because it's about exchanging and putting the product out in the streets, our product and yours. The phone number is 515-605-9800. That's 515-605-9800. And check this out. For all you Indianapolis listeners and viewers, you ain't going to get this kind of excuse my language passing shit on TLC. Okay, because we about to reel up in here.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we have fun doing. You should listen to all our shows. Now, it's your turn. The lineup is
Culture Kings. New episode every Sunday on the SIB channel. Talk to Tana radio show. You can watch it now on the One Guy on the Them Just Jokes comedy channel. You can watch Stephen B's TV version of his radio show on Yazzer Radio Raw channel. And 7 days a week, 24/7.
Hey.
Always streaming, always looping.
And we're looking for more product because.
Yes, we are.
Really. If you want to. I have to drink my water.
Yeah.
But if you really want to do something that you've never done before, don't be scared. Because it's not, even if we have to say to you, this is not appropriate, which I doubt that will happen. And look at it as a learning experience. But you got to come inside the door and learn. And that's not only from the front of the camera. We're looking for people from behind the camera and behind the...
Yes, we are.
So
yes.
It's a great opportunity. So anybody out there, our contacts, and trust me, we're worldwide. So
worldwide.
So if somebody in Europe wants to get a hold of us, we're talking.
We're looking for somebody from Russia. We need a Russian, what's the news people call that? Not commentator, but trying to say.
I don't know.
You the one with the Berkeley? Help me out.
I gotta do what you're trying to say. I don't know. Commentator?
Correspondent.
There you go.
Good Lord. Know the lingo.
I'm not running for president. I could be stupid. That's
yeah.
The thing. We like to see president. But listen, before we go, what's happening with Ukraine?
What's happening with Ukraine?
Yeah.
They're getting rich off America.
How dare you.
What?
Why would you say such
we will talk about that more on Wednesday.
Why would you say such a cruel and very vicious
man,
because
every time I turn on TV, they dumping millions and billions.
Million.
Exactly. Thanks.
I got a question. What about all the children over here?
That's what I'm talking about.
Once again, we'll see you Wednesday. Welcome to Controversy.
Ukraine then came up.
That's right. Anyway, welcome once again to Controversy. It's been fun. We got to run. We'll be back Wednesday, and we're going to bring up some other controversial issues, but definitely want to talk to Pastor Pat again because it was interesting and very, very inspiring. And I hope more people tune in to listen to her because wonderful message, wonderful girl. See you later. Stephen B. and the Key B. Controversy.